So, Chris, can you just tell me about the Quantox AONB, its history, and
well,
it started?
Yeah, it's AONB, as you know, is Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty, and that's a national designation. So it means the Quantox are an area that it's been collectively decided is amongst the most valuable third of the landscape in the country. So this puts it with the national parks and a number of AONBs around the country. And it just says that this is an area of particular beauty that in modern parlance is really quite unspoilt, or there are large areas that are. In the case of the Quantox, of course, it's the mixture of the open hilltops, but you have all the villages and little ancient settlements around the spring line around the hills that actually add to the strength of character and that sense of continuity of the history. It's something that that the more time you spend, I think, in an area, the more you realise how fully connected, how the Quantox suffer so much less from that disjointed feeling you can get in cities and more urban areas and more modern areas. That I think that sense of continuity of history is a really important thing.
And the Coleridge Way goes through the Quantox. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the Coleridge Way?
History of the Coleridge Way, well, actually where it came from, because I'm lucky enough to have been working around the Quantox for nearly 25 years now, there was the idea that some sort of promoted route that joins the Quantox and Exmoor. And then I can sort of remember conversations about Quantox sort of being Coleridge country. And then, you know, the idea emerged that, well, when writing The Ancient Mariner, Coleridge and Wordsworth themselves, and Dorothy Wordsworth, did a walk that started in the Quantox and went through Exmoor. So I think that was where it actually started from.
And you're based at Fine Court, which is the home of Andrew Cross. Can you tell me a quick bit about that?
Andrew Cross was the thunder and lightning man. He was an early experimenter with electricity. He'd have wires in the trees and in thunderstorms and collect up the electricity. So real sort of Frankenstein sort of references. There was quite a lot of local suspicion of this sort of slightly mad scientist, but he was well respected. He was a member of the Royal Institution and he'd give lectures in London. And he was visited, I think Coleridge and Wordsworth did visit him, so they were fairly there was a contemporary element to this. He sort of damaged his reputation a bit at one stage because he thought he'd created life by passing electricity through some particular minerals. And this was taken up by, I think, a national magazine at the time, that he was claiming to have created life, which actually he was quite scientific. And in fact, he just couldn't work out how else these particular little mites had appeared. But he wasn't really claiming that. But I mean, again, you get so many stories from areas like the Quantox, and this is one of them that I think is particularly interesting. But you can't help but find that sort of almost at every point when you go for a walk like this through the hills, new stories crop up that you can follow if you want to.
Did Mary Shelley get the idea of Frankenstein?
Well, it is suggested that she may have, and certainly I think that would have been a part of the sort of input. She would have been aware of Andrew Cross, based in Fine Court, and his experiment.